We have read together Ephesians 1 and verse 1 through to 14. It's actually a fairly difficult passage of scripture to follow because it consists of 14 verses but 5 sentences. So there's a lot of information stacked into those verses. But what we're going to do this morning, as we think about the passage we have read, is that we're going to have somewhat of an assessment of the spiritual blessings that's to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is like an assessor that's coming into your house. Maybe you've had that before, an assessor coming into your house to identify the items that's in your house and to evaluate them, and then to determine their value. And then they would tell you what you have got after they've assessed it, so that you will be able to esteem them correctly. And it is my hope this morning that if you are a child of God, that you will realize, maybe afresh this morning, something of what God has given to you, so that you will be able to praise God for it, and that you will be able to honor God with it. But if you are not a believer this morning, it is my hope that you will be able to see what you do not have, and that you will find it in your heart to ask God to give it to you. Now we will consider this passage this morning by firstly asking, how does one become a beneficiary of God's blessings? How does one become a beneficiary of God's blessings? Then in the second place, we're going to look at what these blessings consist in. What do they look like, these blessings? And then, thirdly, we're going to do the work of an assessor by asking, why does God give us these particular blessings? What is their value? And finally, we will conclude the sermon with just a few points of application. And our text this morning is found in verse 3. That'll be our home base, if we can call it that. Verse 3, where we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." In the first place then, how does one become a beneficiary of the blessings of God? In suggesting an answer to that question, I think we need to look at verse 3. And we read the following words there. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ." Now the first thing, if we look at that passage of scripture, which is very clear, is that blessing comes from God. Blessing comes from God. We read, "Blessed be the God, who has blessed." Blessing comes from God. But then, notice, the Apostle Paul addresses God in a very interesting way. He addresses him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. That's very interesting. Why does he address God as the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, may I suggest that in doing so, in addressing God in that particular way, what the apostle is doing, he is referring to the union or the relationship between God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, you'll notice that he goes further and he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. That little word, our, glaring at us. And what we can see if we look at that word, our, the apostle seems to connect us to Jesus. So there's a union between the believer, the Christian, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully it will all become clear in a minute what I'm getting at. You will remember that when Jesus rose from the dead, Mary stood by the empty tomb, weeping there. And when she turned around, she saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing there. But she thought he was the gardener. And then Jesus said to her, Mary. And when he said the words, Mary, she immediately realized who he was, and she clung to the Lord Jesus. And then he said to her the following words. He said to her, do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, the disciples, and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So, if you have a union with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the God and Father of Jesus is your God and your Father. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you are in Jesus, then you are in God the Father. Because Jesus and God the Father, they are one. So there's a vital union that we must see if we look at the words of the apostle. If you are in Christ, you are in God. And God blesses you in connection with Jesus Christ. Because there's a union between the believer and Jesus, blessings can flow from God through the Lord Jesus to the believer. And this phrase, in Christ, appears 10 times, no less than 10 times in this passage. Blessings in Christ. One commentator said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the golden string on which all the pearls of blessings are strung. And the Bible tells us that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the channel of God's grace. And the question this morning is, are you in Christ? Is he your connection to God? Well, if you are not in Christ this morning, it follows that you don't have a connection with God. And spiritual blessings cannot come to you, because you do not have that channel, the Lord Jesus Christ, by which you can receive these spiritual blessings. That is then how one can benefit or receive the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings, is through this channel, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the second place, we may ask, what are those blessings? Those blessings of God. What are they? Verse 3, we are told that they are called spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And our passage actually states a number of blessings for us. But we're not going to look at all of them this morning. I just want to point out three of them to us so we can have a foretaste of the spiritual blessings of God. I just want to mention before we look at them is that spiritual blessings here is not the same thing as spiritual gifts of the gift or the gifts of the Spirit. It is something else, and you will see just now what they are, these spiritual blessings. The first is the adoption as sons. The first blessing is the adoption of sons. Verse 4 and 5 we read, just as He chose us, that's the believer, in Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So, the picture we have here is that you have the whole mass of the human race, of all ages. And then God comes and He elects, He chooses some of them out of that race. And then He adopts them as His children, as His sons and His daughters. And He does more than that. He then also gives them an inheritance. And I want to suggest that this is a blessing indeed. This is a tremendous blessing. And when you think about it, you'll notice that it is God who decides. There is no part of man in terms of this decision who will receive the blessing of adoption, who will receive the blessing of being chosen by God. It's entirely God who decides. In fact, God, we are told, decided this before the foundation of the world. Before He made the world, before He made us, God already decided that. But you may ask, what made Him decide that? Why did He decide that? And the answer is found, I believe, in verse 5, where we are told that it is because of the good pleasure of His will. Now, God's will is very pleasing to Himself. And He works out everything according to His good will. And so, according to His good will, He chose His people in Christ and adopted them in Christ for the sake of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom He is well pleased. He accepts those who are in His Son. So there we have it again. Jesus is our channel of blessing. That is the first blessing then, that God chose and God adopts as children and He gives an inheritance. But the second spiritual blessing I want to suggest is that God offers salvation and the forgiveness of sins. God offers salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Notice with me verse 7 and 8. We read there, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence. And the picture once again is that you have this person, the sinner, unbeliever, who is a stranger to God. And maybe that describes you. Maybe it describes who you were. And before he ever lived, God chose him. And while he was still a sinner, Christ died for him. We are also told that God exercised great wisdom and understanding here. It's as if God carefully thought about what He is doing in His wisdom, His absolute wisdom. He made these decisions. In fact, we are told more than that, that God, in deciding this, He also overflows with grace. He overflows with grace. He doesn't just possess storehouses of grace in heaven and keeps it to Himself. No, no. He pours it out. He pours it out onto the undeserving. And this is a great blessing, that God, who could have executed His justice upon us because we disobeyed God's law, except, or rather in doing so, He accepted the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lord Jesus, as the sacrifice for sins and the basis on which anyone alone can receive the blessing of salvation and forgiveness. And this is love, isn't it? This is love, not that we loved God, the Bible tells us, but that He loved us and that He sent His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Now the question is, have you repented of your sins and have you trusted in Jesus for salvation? Jesus is the channel on which you need to rely, if you haven't, for salvation and to the forgiveness of sins. Do not rely in your own effort, in your own merit or goodness, or good intentions or sincerity. No. Those things, the Bible tells us, if we rely on any of those, we should actually count them as debt. We should count them as sin. If we want to bring anything within us as we stand before God, no, rather we must look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look on Him. We must call upon Him, that channel of blessing. The third and the last spiritual blessing I want to point out to us from the passage is that God has blessed us with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of inheritance. God has blessed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of inheritance. And we notice with me in verse 13 and 14, we read there, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed," and listen to this, "were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." So if you are a believer today, then God has blessed you with the Holy Spirit. He's blessed you with the Holy Spirit. And He calls him here the Spirit of promise, as a guarantee or a down payment of your inheritance. And what we actually have here is that the Holy Spirit is the sign and the seal of the eternal inheritance. It's a seal that you've been saved. And with the Holy Spirit, it is as if the Holy Spirit takes the child of God and He puts him into the departure lounge for heaven. Because it's a done deal. This spiritual blessing of the Holy Spirit guarantees the inheritance of eternal life for the believer. So if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and He is operating in your heart, then you have the guarantee. You are a purchased possession of God, and the blessing of God is a certainty for you. So then, The spiritual blessings of the Lord God is available to the believer in Jesus Christ. The adoption as a child, forgiveness of sins, salvation, and the seal of the Holy Spirit. But now we may ask, why does God give these particular spiritual blessings? Why is the focus on spiritual blessings and not on material or fleshly blessings? What we're really hoping to establish is, what is the value then? The value of these spiritual blessings. And I want to suggest three reasons why God gives spiritual blessings to His children. The first is because of the nature of the spiritual blessings. They are spiritual. They are given by God the Father. They are purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ in Christ. And they are brought into contact with the soul of a sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit, applied by the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting here, isn't it? Thinking of that, is we can see the Holy Trinity at work in the giving of these spiritual blessings. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all at work. So it's like that assessor again that comes this time round into your heart. If you're a believer, and he goes round and he stops because he notices an item in the heart, and he says, well, sir or madam, where does that salvation, where does that forgiveness of sins, where does that adoption as being named a child of God, or that eternal inheritance come from? And you say, well, it is just a gift from someone. But then he says to you, this is not just any gift. This gift is special. It is precious. This is the type of gift that only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can give. So these spiritual blessings are precious. And they are spiritual because it's given by God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. But more than that, they are spiritual blessings because they come from heaven. They come from heaven and they prepare us for heaven. We are told in verse 3 once again, they are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They are heavenly. See, a new heart is better than a new pair of shoes, isn't it? And being called the child of God is better than being called the child of a nobleman. And to receive an eternal inheritance, an inheritance in heaven, is better than to receive the inheritance of a monarch, a big castle or something like that. Now we need material blessings, don't we? And we cannot deny that, and they have their place. And God graciously gives those to us. And we must thank Him for it, for our health and for shelter and for talents and employment. We must thank God for those things. But God knows how to give us better gifts than that to His children. You see, earthly blessings are temporal and they are perishing. And spiritual blessings are eternal. God's word says to us, do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, do you have an eye for eternal blessings? Do you have an eye for those type of blessings? Or are you so consumed with the things that this passing world can offer you? How do you look at these blessings of God? Now, if God has given you these blessings, He certainly hasn't given it to you to be stored on the shelf, or to be done nothing with, or forgotten. No. Verse 4 tells us in the passage that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be holy and without blame before God. God is giving us spiritual blessings so that we may live a holy life. And if you claim to be a child of God, but you live a shameful life, you won't really fit in heaven. You'll be like a foreigner when you get there. You'll be completely out of place, because you haven't been living a holy life. You haven't been making use of these spiritual blessings that God gives. If God has blessed you with these spiritual blessings, are you then honoring Him with them? But furthermore, God gives us, in the second place, these spiritual blessings because He wants to give Himself to us. He wants to give Himself to us. He imparts these gifts in order to impart Himself. It's interesting when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, God spoke to him and He blessed him and his descendants, and He said to Abraham a very interesting thing, and He said to him, Genesis 15 verse 1, "Do not be afraid, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." God wants to be your exceedingly great reward. He wants to be your God. He wants to give Himself to you. The scripture reading we read a bit earlier in the service from Romans 8, we read, amongst others, we read that He did not spare His only Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. How then will He not freely give us all things in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ? So what God wants to give Himself to you, and that's why He's offering these spiritual blessings to you. But in the last place, I want to suggest that from God's Word, the reason why God gives these spiritual blessings is that they are a reminder to us that the believer will be with God in heaven. They are a reminder to us where we're going. Spiritual blessings then give us a foretaste of our inheritance. A foretaste of our inheritance. It's like God that keeps on sending supplies of blessings to you as a believer. And in doing so, is reminding you of where they come from. That they come from heaven, and where you will be going. Jesus said that I prepare a place for you, so that where I am, that you will also be able to go there. Do you see the hand of God in the blessings that He gives? Each time, as you look at these blessings that ascend from home, that ascend from heaven, very few material blessings in this world, not a car, not a house, in this world can remind us of God, can remind us of our eternal inheritance. It seems like there's this great difference between spiritual blessings and earthly blessings. Those earthly material blessings, they are all temporary and they will perish. But spiritual blessings are eternal and they're infinite in value. And they serve as a reminder to us that we'll go to heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must end this sermon now just with a few points of application. And the first is this. It seems like the psalmist in Psalm 73 had forgotten. He had forgotten. And then his feet, we are told, had almost slipped. Have you forgotten of the blessings that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you have forgotten, then you can praise God today. Because, like the psalmist, it is when he went into the sanctuary of God that he remembered what he had in the Lord. And he said, "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart shall fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Now, dear believer, don't forget what spiritual blessings God has given to you and that God has blessed you with. And then in the second place, realize that you have been having it. Every spiritual blessing, we are told, in the heavenly places, you've been having it in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given it to you. The adoption as a child, the forgiveness of sins, salvation, an eternal inheritance, a new heart. God has given it to you all. And if He has given it to you, then take hold of it. Take hold of those blessings. Humbly receive them. Because God has graciously given them to you. And go then and worship God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength, because of God's goodness to you. But if you are an unbeliever this morning, I think there's good news for you. We have good news for you. And that is that the spiritual blessings of God is available to you. Available to you. In the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to pass a test or have to reach a certain merit before God. You don't have to do any of those things. Just as you are, you can come. The Lord Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the answer is come to the Lord Jesus. Come to Him. In Him, you will be connected to the Father. In Him, your sins will be forgiven. In Him, you will receive salvation. In Him, you will be called child of God. Come to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our channel, our connection with God the Father.